a little bit of Creedence Clearwater for you there. Do you like him? I always did. Wonder if he's still singing. I have to ask Ed later in the show. He usually follows these guys. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Ed. Big Ed, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, May the 18th already. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. And we're going to talk about his testimony last week before the House Ways and Means Committee on the Biden tax and budget proposals. Very, very interested to hearing what a libertarian from the Cato Institute has to think and say about Biden's tax proposals. So stay tuned for that in a few minutes. And Texas, the Lone Star State, reports zero COVID deaths on Sunday. None. As their open-air policy seems to be working. All this after President Biden, remember he slammed the Lone Star State back in March for what he called its Neanderthal thinking. That and the state of Mississippi, their Neanderthal thinking on the virus. Well, we're going to get some thoughts about this, among other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, mainstream America's most important poll, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that as well. And the Supreme Court set to hear a new abortion case that challenges Roe versus Wade. We are going to be taking a look at this very emotional topic later on in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest movie sidekicks. Who do you think they were? These are Rolling Stones' top 10 greatest movie sidekicks. That'll be much later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, for my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They are open Tuesday through Saturdays. Call them for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Hey, while we're at it, plugging things, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. It's a great show, is it not? Those of you that listen to the show, Monday through Friday, they are on 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network, Paul and Tracy Allen. And Tony, what a nice guy Tony is. You see that banner behind me if you're watching it on your computer? Tony put that up. Start off your day with Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So, lots of things going on. We're going to be talking a little bit more about it, but the tax and budget proposal coming up. And by the way, Biden, doesn't he have a bit of a mixed message when it comes to pipelines? All of a sudden, it seems to be a bit of a struggle for Team Biden to get on the same page between prioritizing energy pipelines and ditching masks. As the country worries about the recent Colonial Pipeline hack, which have had a good deal to do with the price of gas going through the roof right now, the administration continues to portray the thing as a non-issue. Well, one of the first things he did was to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, and now we got the Colonial Pipeline having problems opening up. And now we got lines. You know what's kind of interesting? And maybe it's, I don't know, turnabout is fair play or whatever the term is. Washington, D.C. has got like 70% of its gas pumps closed. Did you know that? About 70% of their gas pumps are not working right now because they can't get the gas to it. Isn't that about the most liberal city in this country? So I wonder what everybody in Washington, D.C., as they sit in line waiting to get gasoline, I wonder what they're thinking about the Biden pipeline policy.
Well, now you know it's serious when the lawmakers can't get their limos filled with gas.
That's correct. That is correct. All you have to do is put them out of a joint a little bit, and all of a sudden they're going to, now they'll take some action.
Wait a minute,
maybe.
The Democrats have those electric limos, don't they?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, indeed, they have the electric limos. You know, if you had an electric car, what if you couldn't find a place to get
Well, who's the one?
You know, what do they call them, those electric stations? What if you couldn't find one and you were running out of electricity?
What was the one Democrat that said, see, if you had an electric car, you wouldn't be worried about the pipeline?
Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? Isn't that the, you know that they need oil to get solar?
I'm not sure.
They do. You do have to run things that can run solar with oil. I mean, petroleum.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't think it through. They don't think it through. Now, maybe eventually we'll be able to harness the sun so well that it, you know, just drive down the street and you'll have a solar panel on your car, maybe. I don't know when that will be.
Yeah, but it was just wrong to basically turn the faucet off and say, let's go green.
Well, now they see what happens when you do that, right? So, you know, his cancellation of Keystone was fully supported by his inner circle, including the current Department of Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm. So, what do they look like now? You know, he's had a tough couple of weeks, if you think about it. First, he's been, you know, just the other day, he said, wear a mask when you're inside. Wear a mask. Remember? Kept saying that?
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, the Center for Disease Control reversed him, like the next day. The pipeline situation with people lining up to get gasoline. The price of gasoline must be averaging well over $4 nationwide, probably over $5 or so in California. That's another liberal place, by the way, not just Washington, D.C. All of the, and then we've got, of course, because of the gas increases, it figures on increasing every other product, because somehow, if you go to a store to buy something, a truck brought it there. And a truck has to pay, you know, has to use gasoline, which means that it has to increase the price of its delivery of that product. So it's always passed on, and it's always the consumer that ends up, you know, paying the load. So we're going to have inflation too. So you got all of these things to worry about. I mean, this is the way Jimmy Carter went down in 1979 or whenever it was, 1980, when Reagan came in. But, you know, Jimmy Carter, he came in 1976, right after Gerald Ford and Nixon. And he was going to be like, you know, now a breath of fresh air, you know. I remember he was walking down the main street there towards the Capitol or the White House, I guess it was, with these suitcases in his hand. He wanted to make this image of a plain-spoken country boy that had become the president of the United States. 4 years later, he was swamped by Reagan. And a lot of it had to do with the gasoline shortages and the price controls on the gasoline.
Well, I don't think we're going to see the full effect of what's really going on until these free checks stop coming in.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of states have decided they don't want that money. They're all, of course, red states. They don't want the money because it's a disincentive for their people to go to work and their businesses to get people. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit further about the Biden tax and budget proposals with a guy that did a little testimony before Congress on it, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. 3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works and delighted to have back Chris Edwards, who is Director of Tax Policy Studies at the great Cato Institute. He testified last week before the House Ways and Means Subcommittee regarding the budget, the Biden tax and budget proposals. Chris, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
You know, I think you were one of, what, five people at least that were testifying there, and you were probably the only one that was not pushing the increases, especially on the wealthy, the increased taxes. Am I wrong on that?
No, that's right.
You know, boy.
It's, of course, controlled by the Democrats these days, and so the committee hearings are very slanted, and there was I was one small government testifier, and the other four were left of center or big government and for higher taxes. So, but still, so that means it was about equal because I had the facts on my side.
You did indeed. You did indeed. You know, I always get, it drives me crazy when I hear, well, listen, we've got to extract more money from the wealthy so that they can pay their fair share. How many times have you heard the word fair share? We know it's a mantra of liberals when it comes to going after businesses and wealthy people. Well, they're not paying their fair share. Well, of course, you can find statistics that show that, like, the top 10% pay, like, I don't know, 70% of the entire tax situation in this country. I'm not sure of those figures, but, you know, something like that. So I always think, okay, define what you mean by fair share. You know, it drives me crazy.
So here's the thing that I thought you were going to say that you can find statistics that kind of show everything on both sides, and that's actually not true. All the authoritative sources of tax data all show the same thing, that the people at the top pay the vast majority of federal taxes, and they pay a massive share of all federal taxes. So it's not like there's wiggle room here. The facts are clear. So if you want to hear a few facts, so this is from the Congressional Budget Office. The top 1% pay 25% of all federal taxes. 1% of people pay 25% of all federal taxes. And that share has been rising over the decade.
Indeed.
So that's one fact. And then another, in a new Cato piece, I look at data from the IRS. I looked at data from the Joint Committee on Taxation, the Nonpartisan Tax Committee of Congress, and data from the Tax Policy Center, a left-of-center group. Here's what the data shows. This is from the Tax Policy Center. The federal tax rate on all federal taxes for the top 1% is 28%. The rate on the bottom fifth of households is just 3%. So the tax rate on the top group is almost 10 times higher than the tax rate on the bottom group. And that includes income taxes, payroll taxes, and all types of taxes. So, you know, the idea that the top don't pay its so-called fair share, it's ridiculous. And, you know, there ought to be a lot more fact-checking in the media about these statements from Biden and Elizabeth Warren and the others claiming that the top don't pay their so-called fair share.
Indeed.
The last point here is Elizabeth Warren repeatedly says people at the top only pay half the tax rate of the rest of us, people in the middle. It's just completely untrue. And how she gets away with saying it over and over, it's amazing.
Yeah, you're right. They're not challenged, usually. They're not challenged. And that's how they get away with it. Even Biden, who won't take any questions usually anyway on it, you know, is up there reading the teleprompter. And fair share, we've got to get them to pay their fair, it drives me nuts. One of the things that you mentioned that I found interesting, and I got to find it here, has to do with how this whole situation actually inhibits their attempts at, let me find it here, about climate change and infrastructure. Oh, the anti-green nature of their infrastructure funding. What did you mean by that, Chris?
So this is one thing I find remarkable and frankly underreported, is that economists really across the spectrum and environmentalists agree that the green way to fund infrastructure is by user charges. So we have a gas tax that funds our highways. That's an efficient way to fund highways because it limits the consumer motorist demand for highways. It's the same with water. You know, we're all in favor of reducing water use. That's good for the environment. So the way you do that is you have fees on how much water households use, and that money goes into funding water infrastructure. That makes sense from both an economic and environmental perspective. Okay, but now Biden comes in with massive $2 trillion of subsidies for infrastructure, water infrastructure, electric vehicle infrastructure, highway infrastructure, and it's based not on efficient user charges, but on, you know, hiking income taxes. So the entire way that he funds his climate infrastructure program here is non-green, so it doesn't make any sense. And so I would have thought there'd be a lot more pushback from environmentalists on all this infrastructure funding. And just to give you a specific example of this, I mean, Biden would subsidize electric vehicle infrastructure $170 billion, a massive amount of money, but that you're encouraging energy use. You're subsidizing motorist energy use by subsidizing EV industry. So that makes no sense from an environmental perspective. So it's hugely internally inconsistent. The administration claims it's for addressing climate change, but its infrastructure plan does the opposite.
Indeed. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is the Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Last week he testified before the House Ways and Means Subcommittee regarding the Biden tax and budget proposals. And by the way, Biden has proposed a $2.3 trillion American Jobs Plan and a $1.8 trillion American Families Plan. And of course, what these things will really do is screw up both. Will they not? I mean, the jobs will certainly not be helped getting people back to work with the jobs plan, nor will families really, I don't think, come out that much stronger with their American Families Plan. Your thought on those two things?
So, I mean, on the infrastructure plan, there's another giant internal inconsistency here. Biden would subsidize infrastructure that the politicians in Washington chose, but they would fund that plan by hiking corporate taxes by $2 trillion. But most infrastructure in America is owned by big corporations. You know, pipelines, cell phone towers, broadband infrastructure, factories, all owned mainly by big corporations. So they would invest less in infrastructure because they have higher taxes. So Biden would be subsidizing his plan from grabbing all this money from corporations. They would invest less in infrastructure, and Biden would be subsidizing his favored infrastructure. It would be a giant wasteful circle of subsidies. And then on the families plan, I mean, the main thing, it seems to me, is federalism. So Biden would, for example, he'd have a big new national family paid leave plan. But there's already 8 states that fund their own paid family leave plan. And, you know, that's what, you know, states want to do. Those 8 states, they can do it. The other states have decided not to have paid leave plans. So why does the federal government think it is its role to override the preferences of state governments who have already decided they don't want government paid leave programs? So this idea that that the federal government's going to come in and mandate that all 50 states have to be the same and put them all in a straitjacket of federal regulations, it just doesn't make any sense, and it's really anti-democratic.
Absolutely right. I'm thinking what you guys must have thought when Biden, well, I say you guys, the Cato Institute must have thought when Joe Biden became president and went and swung so far to the left and comes out with these trillion-dollar proposals, which is an anathema to the whole concept of the Constitution and what our federal government really was intended to do. I mean, we are so far away, apparently, or it seems to me, from understanding the true reason for the federal government. And these people that are pushing this agenda, the Biden tax and budget proposal agenda, I wonder when the last time was they read the Constitution. It only take them a few minutes to read it. Your thought, Chris?
So, I mean, we're so far left from the country has swung so far left on economic policy. And you were talking about President Jimmy Carter earlier. Look, Jimmy Carter made lots of mistakes, but he actually had some redeeming policy characteristics. So, for example, major deregulation started under Jimmy Carter and the Democrats, even before Ronald Reagan came to office. The American trucking industry and rail industry were dramatically deregulated under Jimmy Carter to his great benefit. There were things that Carter did, and actually, he fashioned himself as a bit of a fiscal conservative,
yes,
and there
was
some wasteful subsidies that Carter tried to cut. Now, switch to today, I can't see any pro-market things that President Biden and today's Democrats are in favor of. Everything is more government. At least Carter sort of had some big government instincts and some smaller government instincts, and there's more of a balance.
You're right. You know, you're absolutely right. He was more of a blue, what do they call a blue dog Democrat, was he not?
I think that's right. I mean, to give you one little example I came across recently, you know, before 1978, it was illegal to brew beer in your home. Home brewing was illegal in the United States. Carter signed a bill that deregulated that, and that helped launch the whole craft or small brewery revolution over the last few decades. So, you know, Carter was kind of a mix of a good and bad policy legacy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I remember Billy Beer. Remember his brother? He had Billy Beer.
He
was a great character. But you're right. I always kind of liked Jimmy Carter. I thought he was a very decent guy. When he got out of the White House and went to work for Habitat for Humanity, I'll tell you what, my opinion of him went very high. But he did have those issues with gasoline and the limits and the whole thing. And he did make some mistakes. But anyway, so we got Biden, there's no pretense anymore that he's a moderate, I don't think. In fact, I'm a little worried that he's being led around by the nose with other people, you know, the collage of other people.
Well, the thing about Biden, he strikes me as he doesn't really care that much about economic policy. He just goes with the flow and sticks his finger to the wind. Unlike, say, President Bill Clinton, who was very much a policy wonk, got into the details of economic policy, was willing to compromise with Republicans on things like tax and budget reforms in 1997 and welfare reform in 1996. You know, Clinton was very much about compromising on these economic issues, and he was very interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the problems with Biden is he's just not interested in economic policy, and so he's letting the far-left people in his administration drive the train.
And finally, Chris, getting back to your testimony and these two plans, the American Family Plan and the American Jobs Plan, what's Congress and the Senate going to do with these things, do you think?
I think, you know, I would favor Republicans and moderate Democrats, you know, putting the kibosh on all of this stuff. I think the few Senate Democrat moderates like Joe Manchin, I think they got to realize about these internal inconsistencies. The corporate tax hikes are going to damage the economy and damage private infrastructure. The funding for the Biden plan isn't even green, so he's not even going to help the climate change problem here. There's a lot here. What I'm saying is there's a lot here that moderates in both parties should be against, frankly. And so I hope they you know, put aside the politics and think about the actual policy here and the bad direction it would drive federal government policy.
It is always a pleasure to have you on with us, Chris. I really appreciate you and the Cato Institute. We need you now more than ever. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right. Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Texas reports zero COVID deaths on Sunday as their open-air policy seems to be working. We're going to talk a little bit about that and other things with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Waking for the man every night and day, and I never lost a
minute of sleep, and worrying about the way things might have. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. We're here, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. So glad to be here. By the way, if you can't hear us live, we can allow you to go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button. There are our shows, thanks to Big Eddie. Puts them all on podcast for you. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Texas reported zero deaths on Sunday, just 2 months after their governor drew heat from the White House for rolling back business restrictions and lifting the state's mask mandate. Now, President Biden skewered Texas as well as Mississippi at the beginning of March for relaxing lockdown measures. He accused them then of Neanderthal thinking. Well, they're looking pretty good right now, and we got the master barber himself with us. I would say there's a great deal of egg on Biden's face right now with Texas and Florida and a lot of other states that had relaxed these mask measures, etc. Looking pretty good right now, don't you think?
Paul, everything going on is Biden's fault. Everything.
Everything.
Biden's fault. The okay. War in Israel.
It is?
Biden. Oh, who gave Palestinians money?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Buy rockets from Iran. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden.
Yeah. When they dropped off. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. As far as the pandemic goes, Biden told everybody to keep their masks on. Certain people told him to take them off, and everybody that took them off seems to be doing fine. Now, did you read this morning, they said in Australia, they only had 900 COVID deaths throughout this whole thing.
And Australia's been has relaxed rules, don't they, about when it comes to masks?
Well, you know what, Paul? I don't think they counted the people that died from heart attack, from strokes, from car accidents, and everything that died of COVID. That's why I told you the numbers right from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are, as we've said millions of times, there are lies, great lies, and then there are statistics. I mean, you can shape statistics to come out on your side, you know, rather easily. So you never want to listen to that stuff too much. But you're right. There's a lot of people that died for other reasons, and on their death certificate, it might be listed that the factor was COVID-19, when indeed there was either a heart attack, breathing issues.
You know,
yeah.
again, that was our government's fault, because when somebody died of COVID, the government gave the hospitals $36,000. And if they died of anything else, they got $14,000.
Yeah, right.
What would you do?
Exactly. If you needed money in particular.
Again, it falls back on our government's fault, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everything you see going on today, my customers are coming and screaming about the gas prices.
I bet they are.
I had a guy come in screaming about the price of the food in the grocery stores. Look, everyone's going to see hamburger $5 a pound on sale.
It's getting scary.
Very scary, Paul.
I'm very worried about inflation. I do remember when these things, like the high prices came back to us. And again, I'll go back to the Carter administration. Our inflation rates just jumped through the roof during that time. Then you had the long lines at the gas pump. That's why Carter was not reelected. People did not want to go through that. In fact, they had a term.
Weren't the mortgage rates around 13%?
Oh, they were higher. No. They were higher. They were 16 to 17% rates.
Okay.
They were very, very high. It was scary.
Nothing. People can't afford nothing.
Oh, I know the word I was thinking of. You know what they called it? The malaise. During that period of time under Carter, they called it the malaise.
Yeah.
And when Reagan came along, he was a breath of fresh air. People just couldn't get to the polls soon enough to vote Carter out of office. Now, Carter was a Christian. I think he was, in many ways, very conservative with his principles. You know, he was pro-life and a lot of other things.
Jimmy Carter's a very good man.
He's a very good man.
But
he is.
I mean, he made a good president.
He was not a good president.
He was too weak, and he gave in to everything. You can't have a weak president. And that's what we have right now. We got the weakest president. I mean, let's face the fact, Biden is making Carter look like Trump.
I think at least Carter was awake. And Carter seemed to know what was going on. I'm worried about Biden.
You know what? He was pro-American, too.
He was.
Okay, where Biden
no question.
And his administration, they're not pro-American whatsoever, Paul. As a matter of fact, they're out to destroy the country. And I wouldn't doubt that there's big money coming in from all these representatives to a lot of these senators. Someone's getting paid money under the table to make all this happen.
I just, it scares me. I don't think Biden, I mean, I listen to the guy talk. He doesn't seem in complete control of himself. I worry about the people under him and around him. Look at the thing now in Israel. Now, Biden has always been rather pro-Israel all his years. But he's being pulled to the left. Hamas rained down rockets into Tel Aviv. And it's Israel's fault that they were defending themselves and fighting back. I mean, it's just, it's really strange.
What would happen to somebody if they started firing rockets at Washington?
Of course. Of course we'd go after them.
You think they'd just sit there and take it?
No.
All right, then why are they talking to...
I know. This is what drives me nuts. It drives me nuts with the way some of the... of course, that's, you know, a lot of those far-left people like Ilhan Omar and that group, you know they're going to defend the Palestinians. And let's face it. The Palestinians, in my opinion, have been slapped around for a long time, and I think possibly do deserve their own state. I hate to see this fighting going back and forth all the time, the hate that's going on there, and I'm sure Biden is never going to answer it. At least Trump tried to negotiate something, and remember, he was able to get some of those other Mideastern countries to kind of go along with a peaceful attitude towards Israel.
Well, Paul, you had a man in office that had a brain.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a man in office now that's using somebody else's brain.
Yes, I think you might be right.
This is Barack Obama's.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind about it, Paul. As far as the squad goes, I don't believe they should even be part of our government whatsoever.
Yeah. It's scary.
And there should be something in the Constitution that we could be able to get him out.
Well, they did get voted in. I mean, you know, as much as we hate. Hey, we're talking, by the way, with the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. I want to ask you, Andrew, about another Andrew. Andrew Giuliani, did you know he's going to challenge Cuomo for New York governor? Now, Andrew Giuliani is the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. And he's formally in it. Did you know he's formally announced his bid to run against?
I heard rumors about
it. Yeah, he's formally announced. And he says he will fight to make the state the greatest in the country. And he said, I'm in. New York deserves a leader who will fight to make it the greatest state in America once again. If New Yorkers choose to elect me governor, I will bring New York back from the precipice of ruin in the shining state on the hill once again. Your thought on all of that?
Never going to happen. New York is done. New York will never be what it used to be. Chicago will never be what it used to be.
Sad, isn't it?
They are deteriorated and they will sink. They are nothing anymore.
You're too much of a pessimist. Can't we hope that things will get better?
It's not going to happen in New York, Paul. There's all these liberals. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to be happy until their city's taken down and run to the ground.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the big cities, and you mentioned two of them, and also Los Angeles, are going to the dog heap with these liberal policies. So sad that people allow that, you know? You think that they'd finally get a brain and go, what are we doing to ourselves?
Well, Paul, you know, it's not the American people that are voting them in. It's all these illegals that they let in and they take care of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen with these families that they're going to give? You know how many kids are going to be popping out in the next 10 months after July? They're getting $300 a kid a week.
Yeah, that's another thing, of course.
They're going to popping kids. Our population is going to go through the sky.
Well, the federal funding of all of this is so terrible, so anti-constitutional, in my opinion. It doesn't make any sense at all. So, go ahead.
Again, Paul, I call it the baptism to socialism. These people are getting baptized into socialism, and they're going to get used to it. Imagine if you got three kids. Paul, you're getting $900 a week. That's $3,600 a month.
Yeah. It's an incentive to have these
people make. Have kids.
Yeah.
Have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You that book come out cheaper by the dozen again.
Exactly right. Well, let's say more money by the dozen.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't agree with Paul. I don't agree with anything that's going on in Washington today. It's like I told you the other day, I've got nothing positive to say.
So we talked about on our last show a little bit about Ron DeSantis and the way things are going. And it's been a very positive situation here in Florida, as much as it can be, considering that we're all battling this COVID. But he refused to knuckle under to any kind of federal issue when it came to businesses. He strove to. I mean, we started opening up restaurants and bars, I think, before anybody else did in the country, or at least we were one of them. You know, he wanted people to get back there as quickly as possible. We were wearing masks originally, but he's starting to look like he did the right thing. And, you know, Florida has, I think, overall suffered much less than most of the other states. Whoop, did we lose our boy? I think we lost him.
Nope, are you
there? He is. I'm sorry, Andrew. Did I put you to sleep? I was.
Ed must have shut me off.
No. It's one of those glitches. I think it's a Democrat. Somebody from the Voice of Reason flipped off the switch, I think. Go ahead.
Well, again, I'm going to listen tomorrow because I do want to hear what Trump or what Biden has done positive for this country so far. And I don't want to hear them say, well, he got rid of everything Trump stood for.
Why don't you call in and talk to him?
I'm going to give it a shot. We'll see if they accept the call.
Have you ever talked to them on?
On the phone, no.
No?
They always told me they don't accept calls.
They don't accept calls. My apologies. I did not know that they don't accept calls.
Yeah, because
they'd
be getting yelled at all day. Right?
I've heard people
call up and say they agree with, oh, I love those gas prices. Biden's doing a hell of a job. Or, you know, my taxes are great. I enjoy paying my taxes. Oh, my God, the pipeline shut down, but there's no manual override.
Well, why not pay a few extra cents at the pump so you got clean air?
We
do. Yeah, great.
I would like to go back on their show again. They did invite me on their show. We had actually a very interesting discussion, and then I had them on my show. So maybe we'll do another round of that if they're up for it, because there's some new issues.
I want to hear something positive about Biden.
Well, last week they kind of did that. Well, they mocked everything that Fox said, basically.
Well, that's what I want. I want to know what Biden has done.
That his approval,
he said,
his approval rating is somewhere in the 60% range.
I can tell you something.
Biden's approval rating is minus 10. I got news for you.
Hey, wait a second. You're asking about something good about Biden? I can tell you one thing good about him. He's keeping his hands off people.
He's still sniffing, though, I think.
Whatever happened to Tara Reid? I wonder.
Oh, that's gone. Now, if they were after Trump, they'd be all over the newspapers.
That's right. She'd be... Everybody would know what she looks like. Everybody would know her name if it had anything to do with
Trump.
Well,
you know, as soon as Trump is out of office, there are many, many women that are going to file lawsuits. Oh, wait, he's already out of office.
Hey, I want to real quickly switch a gear. Biden's attacks, let's see, Biden experienced a decline in his income. This is, let's see. The president and first lady reported their adjusted gross income of $607,000 for 2020. They paid $157,000 in federal tax. Let's see. But here's what they made. Biden and his wife back in, what year was this, 2017? They earned about $15 million.
That was Bursima.
Yeah.
So you see, they had $9 million.
How did the guy make $15 million in politics? That's what I would like to know. Huh?
They're crooked.
Well, I can guarantee you that will be the headline, or that will be the first thing on the show is, well, he released his tax returns. How about that for a president for a change, releasing his tax returns?
No, they'll make a big deal out of saying that he released his tax returns.
Of course, they were
docking. They have to say that those are fake tax returns.
Well, I would like to know where the money from his son, actually from China through his son, where is that on? Which line will I find that on the 1040?
That's not taxable money, Paul. That's
I see.
Under the table.
That's right.
It's under the table.
It's the UTT money, under the table money, which does not have to be reported.
Exactly.
Okay. It is always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Andrew, and we'll talk Friday.
Yeah, and pray for the world, Paul. That's all I could tell you.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day.
Thanks so much. All right, the Master Barber. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. Well, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments in a major abortion case from Mississippi that could roll back limits on abortion laws. Now, the top court said that they will hear a dispute, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. They will hear this case in October, with a decision likely to come in June of next year. This is scaring a lot of liberals, because they think now that we have a so-called conservative majority, that there might be a 5-4 or 6-3 decision that will limit abortions. Now, let's see here. The case concerns a Mississippi abortion law passed 3 years ago, which bars abortions after 15 weeks. Now, that law was blocked by the Court of Appeals. Under existing Supreme Court precedent, states may not ban abortions that occur prior to fetal viability. Now, that's generally 22 weeks. So Mississippi decided that they thought there was viability by 15 weeks. You see where we're going with this. Here's the deal. If you can prove that the so-called fetus is alive, that limits the argument of the pro-choicers, because they've always suggested that you're not really killing an alive thing. So this is going to deter. Now, we all know that basically, as that child is developing very, very early, it's alive. It's alive. The question is it alive enough to allow to live? Maybe that's really what we should be asking. Is it alive enough? Right? When you're unconscious or you're in a coma, think about it on the other side of life. You're still alive. You're still alive. The question is, are you in such a bad state, let's say in a coma or in a vegetative state, that now the value of your life is reduced, right? I mean, we can say all the things we want, but the truth is, if you're lying there in a bed with hooked up to all of these machines, the value of your life has decreased, the worth of it. So these are the things that are going on in the Supreme Court. And the more technology and the more we can see, you know, with ultrasound and everything else, that little thing moving around is really alive, the more the pro-lifers, I think, quite frankly, have a better case. So we'll see where all of this goes. Okay, before our top 10, Ed, I watched, or I will watch, what am I talking about? I will watch tonight game 2 of the hockey series between our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. And I was very impressed on Sunday night with the way that our injured guys came back. Do you think we will continue that? Do you think we will win tonight?
I think it will continue, and I think the Lightning will win. I think they have the Florida frustrated, and I think they went down a man. Florida lost someone to a suspension.
Oh, did they?
I can't remember his name, but
okay,
lost somebody to suspension.
I mean, they were all but swinging their sticks at the heads of these guys. Were really, they're a younger group than the Lightning. Yeah. They might be a little faster, but everything else I think is on the Lightning side.
Lightning and more experience. One thing that went unnoticed that we talked about yesterday was, I don't understand how the Florida Panthers organization is allowed to have 9,000 people in the building, which is half the capacity of that unit. And then the Lightning, I just confirmed with the Lightning yesterday, when they are here for Thursday's game, they're only going to put 7,000 in there, which is a third of the capacity.
Well, they're leaving it up to the teams to decide how many can come to their stadiums.
Well, I don't
understand. Why not?
What's the difference between here and Miami?
Oh, nothing. I think that they should. If it were up to me, I would say you could put everybody in. I might say, you know, you got to wear a mask because we can't make sure that you don't have or might be a carrier. But I'd allow them all to come in. I'm not worried about that.
I'd like to see at least half capacity, at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's nice, though, to see a lot of people back in the stands.
Yeah, because I tell you, 9,000 in that building was pretty loud. You know,
I thought it was.
You know, and I didn't think it was going to be a factor, but it is a bit of a factor.
I know. There's no question about it. I think you're right. Okay, let's get to our top 10. I think this is a very interesting one, Ed. This is the top 10 greatest movie sidekicks, and it comes from Rolling Stone, okay? So here we go, number 10. Passepartout. I bet you don't know who that is. Around the World in 80 Days, Passepartout.
No.
He, by the way, it was a great movie. It was made about 1956. And he was the assistant to Phineas Fogg as they traveled around the world. Number 9, Mini-Me. You remember him from
Austin
Powers
movies?
Oh, yeah. Mini-Me. Dr. Evil's little assistant.
Never spoke a word.
He was so cute. Okay, number 8, Sam. From Casablanca. Now, Casablanca, one of the most beloved films that's ever been made. And Sam was the piano player at Rick's Cafe.
Yippee.
Didn't you ever see... number seven is Cletus Snow from Smokey and the Bandit. And I did not see Smokey and the Bandit, so I don't know who Cletus Snow is. But evidently, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Are we okay over there? I think our deal. Number six is Goose. Goose from Top Gun. I did see Top Gun.
Waiting for the second movie to come out.
Was he in the second movie?
No, he died in the first.
Okay, well, he was the sidekick.
I know, but I'm waiting. I'm saying Top Gun 2 has been on the shelf for the last year waiting for because of COVID.
Oh, it's that's
all,
right.
It's all That'd finished. It's waiting to come out.
But there won't be any goosing.
No, Goose is gone.
Okay.
The Goose is dead.
Number five. Do you remember Short Round from Indiana Jones? The little Asian? Short Round? No. Cute little guy? All right. Number four. Gromit from Wallace and Gromit. Do you remember that?
Is that an American movie?
That is a good question. I didn't see it. But that's what it is. Number three. Dr. John Watson from Sherlock Holmes. Now, Dr. Watson, you know, they've portrayed Sherlock Holmes for so long. And Dr. Watson was his, you know, was his buddy and his sidekick. You remember Dr. Watson, do you not?
No.
Element. What do you mean, no?
Oh, okay, yeah. Great guy, yeah.
You don't even remember any other Sherlock Holmes movies?
No.
I'm ashamed of you.
I was probably a fetus when
No. They've been doing Sherlock Holmes movies up until just a few years ago. All right, number two. Samwise Gamgee. Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Oh, I never watched those.
I didn't either.
I tried.
Yeah, I didn't
either. It just didn't interest me.
Okay. Real quick, who do you think's number one is?
I don't know.
Well, think Star Wars and think Chewbacca.
Okay, Chewbacca.
Yes, Chewbacca. Remember him? You know the guy that played Chewbacca, by the way, just died.
He just did, yeah, as a matter of fact.
The British guy. Supposed to be a very lovely man, by the way.
I think we have him somewhere. There he is.
Wow, you're right, Chewbacca. Okay, we are done for today. Please stay tuned for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Y right
Z.
After the news. An E or a Y?
Patsy with a Z.
Oh, Patsy with a Z?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. New information's about to emerge in connection with a fatal police shooting last month in North Carolina. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The prosecutor who will decide whether to file criminal charges in the fatal shooting of a black man by sheriff's deputies in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, will discuss the findings of a state investigation. 42-year-old Andrew Brown Jr. was killed as deputies tried to serve drug and search warrants against him.
Protesters last night rallied to demand the release of police body cam video in the case.
To put pressure on the department to put out the tape, the actual footage, not edited footage.
Now to the Middle East. The rocket and missile attacks go on as Hamas and Israel wage yet another day of warfare. Humanitarian aid is now being allowed in. CBS's Weijia Jiang reports President Biden has called for a ceasefire, but the administration seems intent on going through with an arms deal to Israel arranged earlier.
Many lawmakers have issued statements to say that to move forward with this deal would be, quote, appalling, to use the word that Congresswoman Ilhan Omar used, without strings attached, without some agreement from Israel to commit to a ceasefire.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says he opposes the proposed independent commission to look into the Capitol attack, saying other groups like Black Lives Matter should be investigated too.
In a statement released shortly before the House Rules Committee began consideration of the bipartisan bill to create the commission, McCarthy described it as political and unnecessary. Chairman, Massachusetts Democrat Jim McCarthy. McGovern.
The statement by the minority leader, which I find alarming.
Texas Republican Kate Granger says the bill lacks sufficient support in the Senate.
I don't think that they're prepared to pass this, and we're losing an opportunity.
Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
There have been high water rescues in parts of Texas and Louisiana battered by a foot or more of rain. Diamante Hall just moved into a new place in Baton Rouge.
I just literally moved into these apartments. I didn't think it was going to flood like this. Like, the sidewalks, yeah, they flooded, like, foot-wise, but I didn't think it was going to get this bad.
It was bad last night in Atlanta for New York Mets outfielder Kevin Pillar.
Oh, and he hit him in the helmet. Oh, my.
The call on SNY as Pillar was hit by a 95-mile-an-hour Jacob Webb fastball. The team said this morning he suffered multiple nasal fractures. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 66 points. NASDAQ is up 86. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth, personalized and affordable financial planning for everyday Americans. No wealth or asset minimums. Quality financial advice for every stage of your life. I'm CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger with a quick tip from H2O Wireless.
After a day off on Monday, the Rays are in Baltimore now to begin a three-game series against the Orioles on Tuesday, their first set against Baltimore this year. And Tampa Bay is certainly hoping to pick up where they left off at home.
2-1 pitch, rocketed down the right field line. That's going to get down and stay fair. Into the corner it goes, having trouble with it is Hager. The third base is being waved home is Meadows. The throw goes into second base, where Choi is safe with an RBI double as Meadows scores to make it 6-1 Rays.
The Rays scored 31 runs in the last four games, all victories over the Mets and Yankees, and will have Luis Patino on the mound at Camden Yards on Tuesday to kick off a road trip that includes games in Dunedin against Toronto. Airtime on the Rays Baseball Network for this first one at 6:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
For information on the Rays, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Coming up this week on the Republic of Pinellas, we will interview Jason Holloway, a young man who has an ambition to join the Florida House of Representatives in what is now District 67, presently represented by Chris Latvala, who will be term limiting out next year. Jason Holloway will be our guest on the